Heavenly Father, we give you thanks and praise for fulfilling your promise and sending your Son to be with us, to bring us into your family, to save us from the darkness of sin, and to bring us into your kingdom of light. We pray this day that you would open our hearts to ever greater joy in this truth, that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and that we have become children of God because we believe and have power through that belief. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen. Good morning. Once again, a very merry and blessed Christmas to all of you. Just a few thoughts I want to share with you this morning about this most important day. God draws near to us in an unbreakable bond. This is what it means when the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. He pitched his dwelling among us. Or as our guide George said in the Holy Land back last May, the Word is dwelling among us because it's an active thing. It's not something that just happened in the past, and we draw upon other people's experiences and nostalgia of what they experienced. We too know the fullness of truth in Jesus Christ and in what we celebrate this day. And God shows us incredible love and affection and wanting to share in our humanity. And we do the same thing too when we meet with people around us who are experiencing great hardship in their lives and difficulties. When you just be with them and want to share with them their life experiences and not just abandon them because, well, they're not pleasant right now. I think I'll go to something more fun and entertaining. You know, God pitched his tent and will not abandon us. And so through the grace of the Holy Spirit and our own personal conversions, we too get to reflect that undying, unbreakable bond of love to the people around us. And that's how we're living out our faith in our world today. And in order to really find Christmas, we have to empty ourselves. You know, God came in poverty, in that little stable in Bethlehem. And so he meets us in our own poverty. And so we have to strip ourselves of desiring power apart from God and trying to control everything and everyone else around us and not control ourselves. And so Christmas is all about that surrender, that we can't save ourselves and we need some help in this whole process of the redemption of the world. And so today we celebrate that truth. And you know, sadly, they've canceled Christmas in Bethlehem, right? Because of the war and all the violence there. The very place that God entered humanity in the most definitive and beautiful way is surrounded by a wall, and it's just no one's there right now. But can you really cancel Christmas? Is that really possible? I mean, isn't the reality not out here in some physical, you know, geographical place, but it's in here for us today? Isn't that why you came to Mass today? It's because this is your little manger, and Jesus is sitting there in the middle of your heart, right? You've welcomed him. Isn't that really the reality of Christmas? Or isn't it supposed to be the reality of Christmas? So we pray for the people in the Holy Land and all over the world who are experiencing war and violence and hardship. But the truth is, a person who really possesses Christ and knows him as a Savior is truly free, even in the most difficult situations of life. You truly know who you are as a child of God. See what love the Father has for us, that we're called children of God, and so we are. And so even though we long for that peace to be shared to the people around us and the situations around us, and it seems so far off sometimes, it's such a beautiful thing to be able to pull back and say, you know what? I know that peace in my own heart, and that's where I have to start to share it with other people and to let my life speak the gospel through my words and my actions. That's really what the essence of Christmas really is. And so often when we have difficulties in our life that we really cherish our faith the most, the more dark it is, the more you want to be close to the light, right? And so you appreciate the light even more. And so, and then in the beginning of John's gospel, which we read part of today in the gospel, it says that the darkness will not overcome the light. The light has come and the darkness will not overpower it. I know sometimes when we're going through really difficult periods in our life or the world just seems so upside down, we can kind of doubt that. But that's the truth we need to bank ourselves on, or bank our lives on, that the darkness will not overcome the light. That in the end, God is going to bring his plan of salvation to its fulfillment. And we just have to wait and let it be worked out in ourselves. Work out your salvation with care and concern, St. Paul tells us in 2 Philippians. So it's so important for us to do that. And I was sharing recently with somebody who, you know, I've been sitting down over the last couple of weeks, and this time of the year is really hard on a lot of people because it just emphasizes the disunity we often so often feel in our families, the dysfunction, because there's such an emphasis on family unity and getting together with your families. And for some of us, I'm heading home right after this Mass to Richland. You know, there'll be drama and, you know, signs that the fullness of redemption has not quite found its way into the Northrop household or into your household, don't get discouraged, because the Lord's saying that I'm with you and I can show you ways to deal with that and handle that and not turn negative and still be a positive, proactive force of goodness and love for the people in your family. But sometimes, you know, we're very much aware of how we feel a spirit of rejection from people. And even in our families, people may not be really friendly and welcoming. And I was sharing with a friend who was sharing that with me, that they're experiencing that right now, about even, you know, the posadas, that when Joseph and Mary were trying to find a place to have Jesus for the birth, everyone shut the door on them. They didn't find a welcome place, but God provided a way. It was a simple way, you know, in a manger with a bunch of animals and simple people, but God will always find a way to help us through the difficulties of our life, amen? That's really what Christmas is all about. So if you have brokenness in your family, or you're simply missing somebody who's not going to be there this year, you'll see them again in heaven. God is going to make it all right, but we have that tension inside of us. And I was listening to a teaching, and this proverb just fascinates me. I think it's Proverbs 13:12, but hope deferred makes the heart grow sick. Hope deferred makes the heart grow sick. When we can't see what we want to see in front of us, we often like, oh, is this really going to work? And that's where we need to pray to the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, to be fanned in the flame and say, no, I'm going to persevere. The fulfillment of what I'm looking forward to is beyond this exact moment right now and the emotions I'm feeling and whatever is going on right now. But there's more to the picture than what I can see and verify with my eyes. So often the enemy just reminds us of what we don't have, what's broken, what's unfulfilled. And when the Holy Spirit gets a hold of us, it's like, no, this is just one moment, one experience out of many, many other experiences I'm going to have in life. And in the end, God is going to have his way. Have your way with me, Lord. Amen. So people grapple with that all the time in their lives, to experience the reality of human suffering and hope deferred, you know. And so there's a beautiful song. I always like to share music because that's just a powerful way God works with me. And Harry Wadsworth Longfellow wrote this song called I Heard the Bells on Christmas Day. And the context for this song was that he had experienced a lot of suffering in his life and was doubting the truth of Christmas, that God is with us. He had just lost his wife, his second wife, the first one died. This one he had been married to for 18 years, and she died in a horrible fire, burned to death. And then his son went off to the war during the Civil War and got terribly injured and had to leave, but he was fighting to liberate the slaves. And so he was just really in a place of despair, kind of. And he wrote this poem. And I didn't have any coffee this morning. I'm up very early, but I hope you can clearly understand what I'm about to share with you through music. But if you don't, I just want to point out the most important verse in this song. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. The fifth verse. When men repent and turn from sin, the Prince of Peace then enters in. And grace imparts within their hearts his peace on earth, goodwill to men. So this is I Heard the Bells on Christmas Day. I heard the bells on Christmas Day, their old familiar carols play. In music sweet, the tones repeat, there's peace on earth, goodwill to men. I thought how as the day had come, the belfries of all Christendom had rolled along the unbroken song of peace on earth, goodwill to men. And in despair I bowed my head. There is no peace on earth, I said. For hate is strong and mocks the song of peace on earth, goodwill to men. Then pealed the bells more loud and deep. God is not dead, nor does he sleep. For Christ is here, his Spirit near, brings peace on earth, goodwill to men. When men repent and turn from sin, the Prince of Peace then enters in, and grace imparts within their hearts, His peace on earth, goodwill to men. O souls amid earth's busy strife, the Word of God is light and life. O hear His voice, make Him your choice. Hail peace on earth, goodwill to men. Then happy singing on your way, your world will change from night to day. Your heart will feel the message real of peace on earth, goodwill to men.